today on Living on Every Word.
By faith, Rahab the harlot did not perish along with those who were disobedient after she had welcomed the spies in peace. If God, in His sovereign plan, would choose to pluck a harlot from Jericho before the walls of Jericho fell, imagine what He can pluck you and I from and do in our lives.
Have the choices you've made in your life and their consequences left you wondering if God could ever use you? In today's study, Pastor Mike Fritcher examines the faith of Rahab. In part four of our study from Hebrews 11, the impact of faith.
Living on every word.
We are in Hebrews chapter 11, speaking of men and women who lead extraordinary lives because of their faith. In verse 30, a couple of weeks ago, we looked at the faith of Joshua, where it says, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. In that town of Jericho was a harlot named Rahab. In verse 31, it says that by faith, Rahab the harlot did not perish along with those who were disobedient after she had welcomed the spies in peace. Now, it's very interesting because not only would Paul speak of Rahab in Hebrews, but also James would speak of Rahab in his book. And so just go a few pages forward to James chapter 2, verse 14. James chapter 2, verse 14. Because when you think about faith, we often think of the faith of Abraham. It's interesting, though, that James would mention Abraham in this passage and then quickly mention Rahab, this harlot, and her faith. Father Abraham, the father of us all, and then mentioned in the same breath is a prostitute, someone who walked after the things of this world. Notice what he says. What use is it, my brethren, if someone says that he has faith but he has no works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, and yet you do not give them what is necessary for the body, what use is that? There's no use in that. Just as he says that a person cannot be saved by this faith that has not a work that produces from it. Someone will say, you have faith, I have works. Show me your faith without the works. Listen, I'm going to show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one, you do well. But the demons also believe and they shudder. But are you willing to recognize, you foolish fellow, that faith without works is useless? It profits you nothing in this life. It's a faith that sees life produced from him. He says, was not Abraham, our father, justified by the works when he offered up Isaac, his son, on the altar? You see that faith was working with his works, and as a result of the works, faith was perfected. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. And so you see that a man is justified by works and not by faith alone. Now, look at verse 25. In the same way, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works? When she received the messenger and sent them out by another way, for just as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead. Rahab, the harlot. What is it that when we picture a harlot, what is it that people think about? And I tell you, there's a couple of things that people think about a harlot. Number one, some people lust after her. Other people are judgmental and critical of her. But God sees something different. God sees someone who God could use for the glory of His name. And the question that I would ask this morning is this. If God, in His sovereign work and sovereign plan, would choose to pluck a harlot from Jericho before the walls of Jericho fell and the Jericho was sacked and burned, and He finds this one woman with this one faith in all of Jericho, Imagine what he can pluck you and I from and do in our lives. When we look at this passage of Scripture and we see in this wonderful hall of fame, so to speak, of faith, we find this woman who possessed an extraordinary faith and would from this point on live an extraordinary life. Go to Joshua chapter 2 and let's look at the story of Rahab and how we might understand and how we might embrace what she embraced through faith. Notice in verse 1 of chapter 2, Joshua the son of Nun sent two men as spies secretly from Shittim, saying, "Go view the land, especially Jericho." So they went and came into the house of a harlot whose name was Rahab and lodged there. Now here's the story. 40 years before, God had delivered this people out of Egypt and out of bondage. And he had a land for them. It was a land flowing with milk and honey. But 40 years before, when they sent out the 12 spies, 10 spies came back and said, "There's no way that we can handle this land. There's no way that we can have this promised land. There's no way that we can have this life because the inhabitants are too big for us. They devour its people and we're like grasshoppers in their sight." So the scripture says they gave out a bad report and the people rebelled that day and said, "No, we won't go into the promised land. Matter of fact, we want to go back to Egypt." But what happens is they don't go back to Egypt. They go 40 years in the wilderness wandering because of the rebellion. 40 years after 90 funerals a day, when these adults from 21 and over said no to God, when the last one was dead, God calls Joshua, as we saw a few weeks ago. And the first city they're to go into when they cross the Jordan is Jericho. Now, it's a fortified city. It's as fortified as it was years ago. It's the same kind of people living there that was living back then. I mean, the circumstances are the same. They're impossible circumstances. And God says, "Listen, this land is yours, and this first stronghold of Jericho, we're going to tear down, and we're going to tear down by the power of God." And so 40 years later, Joshua calls two spies this time, and they go into Jericho, and they happen to lodge in the house of a prostitute. Now, you got to understand something here. I mean, any place that they probably would have stayed would have been a bad person's place. Just happens to be a harlot. Could have been a thief. Could have been a very selfish person. Could have been an adulterer. Could have been any kind of person. They're of the world. They're all idol worshipers. They don't worship the true God. And you got to remember that they go into a land that is just filled with harlotry, filled with sexual sin, filled with worship to their sexual gods, to the gods of the Baals who are fertility gods. So they're going into a heathen land. So any place they would have stayed would have been someone of probably ill repute. Happened to be Rahab. And they go into this town and they stay with her and they hide there and they're looking into Jericho. And verse 2, the scripture says, "It was told the king of Jericho, saying, 'Behold, men from the sons of Israel have come here tonight to search out the land.' And the king of Jericho sent word to Rahab, saying, 'Bring out the men who have come to you, who have entered your house, for they have come to search out all the land.' But the woman had taken the two men and hidden them, and she said, 'Yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they were from.' And it came about when it was time to shut the gate at dark that the men went out. 'I do not know where the men went. Pursue them quickly, for you will overtake them.' But she had brought them up to the roof and hidden them in the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order on the roof. And so the men pursued them on the road to the Jordan, to the fords. And as soon as those who were pursuing them had gone out, they shut the gate. Now, before they lay down, she came up to them on the roof. And she said to them, 'I know that the Lord has given you the land and that the terror of you has fallen on us. And all the inhabitants of the land have melted away before you. For we heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea before you when you came out of Egypt. And what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan, to Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And when we heard it, our hearts melted, and no courage remained in any man longer because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven, above and on earth beneath. Now therefore, please swear to me by the Lord, since I have dealt kindly with you, that you also will deal kindly with my father's household and give me a pledge of truth. Spare my father, my mother, my brothers, my sisters, and all who belong to them, and deliver our lives from death.' And so the men said to her, 'Our life for yours, if you do not tell this business of ours, and it shall come about when the Lord gives us the land that we will deal kindly and faithfully with you.' And so she let them down by a rope through the window, for her house was on the city wall, so that she was living on the wall. And she said to them, 'Go to the hill country, and so that the pursuers will not happen upon you, and hide yourselves there for 3 days until the pursuers return. And then afterward, you will go on your way.'" Isn't that interesting? Rahab the harlot telling these men of God what to do. You know, they follow her instruction. And then the men said to her in verse 70, we shall be free from this oath to you, which you have made us swear, unless when we come into the land, you tie this cord of scarlet thread in the window through which you let us down and gather to yourself into the house your father and your mother and your brothers and all your father's household. And it shall come about that anyone who goes out of the doors of your house into the street, his blood shall be on his own head, and we shall be free. But anyone who is with you in the house, his blood shall be on our head, and if a hand is laid on him. But if you tell this business of ours, then we shall be free from the oath which you have made us to swear. And she said, according to your word, so be it. So she sent them away, and they departed, and she tied a scarlet cord in the window. And they departed and came to the hill country and remained there for 3 days until the pursuers returned. And the pursuers had sought them all along the road but had not found them. And so the two men returned and came down from the hill country and crossed over and came to Joshua, the son of Nun. And they related to him all that had happened to them. And then they said to Joshua, surely the Lord has given all the land into our hands. Moreover, all the inhabitants of the land have melted away before us. What did this faith do in Rahab's life? And what will faith do in our lives as we learn the very lessons of Rahab today? Well, I want to suggest to you that there are two things that Rahab did according to her faith. That if you have faith, that you will do the same thing. The first thing that she did by believing was she embraced the plan of God for her life. She embraced the plan of God for the world, for the country that she was living in. And what was the plan of God for Jericho? The plan of God for Jericho was to be annihilated. It was to be the first town, the first stronghold that Israel would go into and take over. That was God's plan. And she understood that, and she embraced the plan. She embraced God's plan for her life. And you know, when we look at this whole thought of embracing God's plan in verses 9, when she says, I know that the Lord has given you the land. That is God's plan. And that terror has fallen on us. And that all the inhabitants of the land have melted away before us. And we even heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea. And she says, verse 11, for the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and on the earth beneath. She embraced God's plan by possessing an understanding of, first of all, God's nature. She saw the idols of this world. She saw the gods of Jericho. She walked according to the gods of Jericho. She walked in prostitution. She walked in unbelief. She walked in disobedience to the promises of God. But there's something that she came to understand, and that was the nature of who God is. That He is the God of heaven. He is the God of earth. That He is Lord. That He is sovereign. And you know, His plans will not be thwarted. And therefore, when she embraced the plan of God, she embraced His nature. She embraced His purpose for her. And the question that I ask this morning is, have you embraced God's plan for your life by possessing an understanding of God's nature, of who God is? And then as I look at this passage of Scripture, I understand that not only did Rahab possess an understanding of God's nature, she also understood God's plan and God's will. When you notice that she says, I know that the Lord has given you this land. We have heard of this great God, and we know that He has a plan. And you know, I think that the plan is very specific in Old Testament. The plan is to overcome the enemy. New Testament comes along to overcome the enemy in your life. To see the plan of God accomplished in your life. To know that you've come into this world sinful, that you've come into this world to pray, that you've come into this world with no hope and nothing to live for, and all of a sudden He comes along and He gives you something to live for. And He comes to do this wonderful plan in your life. It's understanding God's will for my life. Not about what I will do in this life, but how I will be in this life. And there's a difference, and it's an important difference. Most of us get caught up and stuck in what is the will of God for my life? What am I supposed to do next? No, what are you supposed to be next? What is supposed to come forth from your life next? Understanding God's will is that Rahab has seen some physical things. God is coming. God's people are coming. This land will no longer be ours. We will die. And she says, we have heard 40 years before what God did at the Red Sea and how powerful your God is. And what He did to those two kings. And our hearts hear of it. And you're in this land again and our hearts are melting. Because we know how great your God is. And I'm embracing this God and I'm embracing this plan. And I'm going to go along with it. Because somehow I know, even as a harlot, someone in my own sin and my own lust, I know that God has a plan. Think about this. All of Jericho, thousands of people, and there's one harlot here that's hearing the Word of God. You know why she's hearing the Word of God? Because the Bible says faith comes by hearing the Word of God. It's the only way you can have faith is by hearing the Word of God. And somehow she's hearing the Word of God. Now go on to 1 Thessalonians, if you would. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. When you look at 1 Thessalonians 4, you can't get any clearer about what the will of God is. It's not about me being a contractor or a pastor or anything else in this life. It's about me knowing Christ and being found in Him. Chapter 4, verse 1, "Finally then, brethren, we request and exhort you in the Lord Jesus that as you receive from us instruction as to how you ought to walk and please God, just as actually you do walk, but we're asking that you excel still more, because you know the commandments we gave you by the authority of the Lord Jesus, for this is the will of God." This is the will of God. What is the will of God? He says, "Your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor." Now, sanctification is a word that just means set apart, being set apart for God's use. It means that you are being made like Christ. It means that you are seeing the old fall off and the new come. Because this is the will of God, your sanctification. And then he says, not that you walk like the world. You possess your vessel, your body, in sanctification and honor, not in lustful passion like the Gentiles who do not know God, and that no man transgress and defraud his brother in the matter, because the Lord is the avenger in all these things, just as we also told you before and solemnly warned you, because God has not called us for the purpose of impurity, but in sanctification. Now watch verse 8. "So he rejects this is not rejecting man." You're not rejecting me if you don't believe this. Scripture says that you are rejecting God who gives His Holy Spirit to you. You know, you'll see Rahab the harlot's life change when she begins to embrace God and His plan. Because what happens in her life is that as she embraces this nature of God and she believes what His will is for her life, she's going to understand that it's not just to save the carton, to save the flesh. She's going to understand that it's to save her spirit, to save her soul. And this saving would be a radical change in her life. And no longer will she pursue immorality and impurity, but she will pursue the purity of God. And she will be changed. And she will be changed forever. And you look at this passage of Scripture and you understand that she possessed an understanding of God's nature and she understood God's will for her life. And then she believed that He would work according to His nature and plan. That He has a plan for her life. Look at on the screen, Isaiah 46:9. "Remember the former things long past. For I am God, there is no other. I am God and there's no one like me." Here's the nature of God. "Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times things which have not been done, saying, my purpose, my will, my plan will be established and I will accomplish all my good pleasure." Rahab understood this. Here's the nature of God. Here's the plan of God. It's going to happen. It is going to happen. So what does she do? She appeals to God's people, and then she becomes available to be used by God. "No longer will I be of these people because these people are going to die. And when I'm going to embrace God, I'm going to have to appeal to His people." And that's what she does. She appeals to Him in the next verses and says, "Remember me and save my mother and save my father and save my brothers and sisters and all their family." And you know what they say? "Okay, we'll do that." God's purpose will not be thwarted in Rahab's life as she embraces the plan of God. What's interesting about this is that she has to move from the world to the kingdom of God. Comes a point in Rahab's life that she's going to say no to this world, no to these gods, no to these things. And she's going to say yes to God in His nature and God in His plan. What's she going to do? Is she going to walk with God the rest of her life. That's what she'll do. Folks, what is the picture of this harlot, of this prostitute? It's a woman who has faith, and this faith will cause her to embrace God's plan, embracing God's nature, and embracing God's will. And in doing it, she will embrace God's people. Very important. Because this is a group journey, not just an individual journey. She's not going to embrace God and God's plan and just live off here with her family. She is going to be united with the people of God. She is going to be connected with the people of God. And when she embraces the plan of God and the purposes of God, she must embrace the people of God. If you don't embrace the people of God, you're not embracing the plan of God. Therefore, when we look at life today and we embrace God's plan and we embrace God's nature, we must embrace His church. You must embrace His church. And it's not about finding a church with the right worship style or preaching style. It's about finding a church body and connecting with that body. Because this is a group journey, not just an individual journey. God speaks of it often, of causing us to become one in faith. When He speaks of the passage of Scripture that you are the body of Christ, not just a member. You are connected to one another. Rahab will embrace the people of God. You find this in Joshua chapter 6. If you go to Joshua chapter 6. She embraced God's people. And when she did that, she became a part of God's unfolding plan for the world. It's a very phenomenal work in this prostitute's life. We read a few weeks ago about Joshua. They go in, they destroy Jericho. And in verse 22, Joshua said to the two men who had spied out the land, "Go into the harlot's house and bring the woman and all she has out there as you have sworn to her." So the young men who were spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brothers and all that she had. And they also brought out all their relatives and placed them outside the camp of Israel. And then they burned the city with fire and all that was in it. Only the silver and gold and the articles of bronze and irons they put in the treasury of the house of the Lord. However, Rahab the harlot and her father's household and all that she had, Joshua spared. And she lived in the midst of Israel to this day, for she hid the messengers whom Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. She lived with them. And what's interesting about this is that when you go to the New Testament, you find this harlot in the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at the screen, Matthew chapter 5, verse 1. Salmon was the father of Boaz. Watch this. By Rahab. She embraces the people of God. She meets this man named Salmon. And she marries him and she has a baby. And this baby is named Boaz. Then Boaz becomes the father of Obed by Ruth. And Obed the father of Jesse. And Jesse was the father of David the king. Rahab the harlot by faith becomes the great-great-grandmother of King David. And if you read on, the great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandmother, and a little more, of Jesus. She becomes a part of the unfolding plan of God, not just to take a people out of Egypt and to come into the promised land, but to take you and me out of our Egypt, out of our bondage, into a promised land that affects our lives, our marriages, our children, our church, for the glory of God. Notice something about verse 26. And then Joshua made them take an oath at that time, saying, "Cursed before the Lord is the man who rises up and builds this city Jericho. With the loss of his firstborn, he shall lay its foundation, and with the loss of his youngest son, he shall set up its gates." So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame was in all the land. I believe that he's talking to Rahab, her mother, her father, her brothers and sisters. He said, "Listen, this is for you to hear this. This city will not be built again. You are not to make a city for yourself. You're going to move into the family of God. Do not build on this foundation again or you will be cursed. You move into the family of God. And you don't go back to the world. You don't go back to the foundations. You don't go back to the way the world does it anymore. Embrace the people of God and the plan of God. Because listen, Rahab, listen, mom and dad of Rahab, brothers and sisters and all the rest of you. If anyone builds on this, it's going to be a curse to you. And when you lay the foundation of these walls in this city, your firstborn will die. And when you put up its gates, your youngest will die. Do not go back to the world." It's amazing to me, as I look at our own culture, our own life, how men and women give their lives to Christ and they go back to the foundations of the world. And they lose their firstborn and they lose their babies. They lose them to the world. Because they did not choose to embrace the family of God. Because to embrace the plan of God, you must embrace the family of God. And it's not just about coming to a church service on a Sunday. It's about embracing each other, connecting with one another, so that we might be praying for one another, and we might be building one another up, and encouraging one another, and teaching one another. That's the will of God. This is what faith does. It embraces the plan of God to bring us out of our own Egypt and bring us into a promised land flowing with milk and honey, but it's also embracing God's people. And therefore, what I must do as a man, embracing God and embracing His people, I must walk according to this new nature in my life and believe who I am with people who believe who they are, and then to live it out. What does that mean? Turn to 1 Peter, if you would, chapter 2, and we'll close with this morning. 1 Peter chapter 2. See, I embrace the plan of God, I embrace the people of God, and then I believe that this is who I am as a part of the body of Christ, because God says it. Notice, coming to Him as a living stone, verse 4, which has been rejected by men, but is choice and precious in the sight of God. You also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house. I'm a part of a spiritual house, and I'm just one stone. One stone out there by itself builds nothing. But living stones coming together, it's the body of Christ, builds a spiritual house for God. Notice, behold, verse 6, I lay in Zion a choice stone, a precious cornerstone, that's Jesus. And if you believe in Him, you won't be disappointed. The precious value then is for those who believe, but those who are disobedient, it's the stone which the builders rejected. This became the very cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense. They stumble because they're disobedient to the word. And this, to this doom they are appointed. Do you remember what it says about Rahab? She did not perish along with those who were disobedient. She didn't perish along with the world. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that we might proclaim the excellencies of Him who called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. Because once you were not a people, but now you're the people of God. You have not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Therefore, I'm urging you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lusts which wage war against the soul. Keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, so that in the thing which they slander you as evildoers, they may, because of your good deeds, as they observe them, glorify God in the day of visitation. I want you to bow with me in prayer. Would you do that? Could God ever use Rahab? Could God ever use this harlot? Could she ever change? Could God ever use this thief, this murderer, this drunkard? Could God ever use this fornicator, this adulterer? You better believe He can. He is a God who plucked this woman by her faith out of the pit of Jericho and placed her amongst the people of God and gave her a name of renown, who became a part of the unfolding plan of God to bring redemption to the world, to bring redemption to you and to me. Rahab the harlot, spoken in the same breath of Abraham our father. What a great God. Because I tell you this, believe this with all my heart, in all eternity, if you have faith, if you believe, you will be named with them also. What a great thought. It's faith that leads to an extraordinary life.
Mike Fritcher is the pastor of Cottonwood Baptist Church near Dublin, Texas. If you would like to hear this broadcast or any other sermons from our audio library, or if you feel led to support this ministry, please visit us online at livingoneveryword.org.